episode of ZenoChat Gazette. I am one of the hosts, Tyler, along with Justin.
What's up, guys?
All right, we got two other guests with us today. First off, we have Marie.
Hello.
And we have Nick.
Hello.
All right, we have another issue of the Gazette talking about the latest Zeno Monolith Soft-related news. So first up is our, you know, figure corner where we talk about all the latest figure news that are coming out. And there's quite a bit coming out.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah. We've been we are being fed, and it is awesome.
Yeah, a bit too much. A bit too much, though. My wallet can keep up.
Right? So yeah,
this really figures.
Yeah, first up, we're going to talk about Bart, which last episode we were wondering, when are they going to release that? And lo and behold, Square Enix was like, oh, we heard you, and it's coming out in August. So pre-orders for that are up on AmiAmi.
Yep.
Yes.
And it is,
and most likely other places too. But right. AmiAmi is often their first place that we look at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It
wouldn't be surprised if it shows up on Square Enix's website as well. I haven't checked there, but it's probably there.
Oh yeah.
Big Bad Store will probably have them too.
Big Bad Toy Store might have it as well. There's even a chance that it'll even show up on Amazon. But
yeah, it's possible.
It's on AmiAmi.
Amazon, but
yeah. We're just giving all the options people might have for this, but exactly. We know it's on AmiAmi right now. You can currently pre-order it for 11,880 yen, approximately 79 USD. I'm rounding, so you can get that there. And yeah, he looks all right. I'm not crazy about this particular line of figures. You know, the joints kind of look a bit weird, but
yeah.
I mean, the coloring is fine. The details,
I think the coloring
nice.
And details are pretty nice, but it's just often the square figurines often have these very like apparent like joints, and they're not exactly pretty when someone like when it's a character that's not wearing clothes, say at the joint, like Bart is. Like it's kind of weird in some angles.
That and the hair always kind of looks like a cheaper sculpt a lot of times. Now this one I will say looks a little better on the hair for sure.
Well the sculpt itself is not bad at all. Like it's just I think my main problem is the joints of the arms.
Yeah, which the saving grace on this one, you have the crossed arms attachment that don't have any joints.
Yeah, at least you have
nice.
That. At least you have that. You can't just be like, oh, screw the arms. I don't need
I
that.
Might.
Also, the whips are very nice.
Yes, the whips
are. The whips are nice, but I wonder how you're going to make that pose, that one pose that you have there.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be tricky because, again, like, the joints of the Square Enix figures are never too great at movement either.
I have to wonder
It depends which ones, but still.
I kind of have to wonder. I feel like the whips might actually be like wire, have wires in them, so you can twist them.
Oh yeah,
them
that's possible.
Liking.
That's possible.
That's my guess.
It's already
I don't know
in
if
position, kind of. I don't know.
No, they're not. They're just like I'm looking at the other pictures of them where it shows all the parts just laid out, and they're just like a set kind of way. I'm guessing that you can like twist them and bend them into shape, and they probably
it's
keep
possible.
That form a little bit because of like a wire base or something.
You're
I don't
so
see anything in
snap,
the description
though.
For that. Yeah.
But usually,
well, I mean,
if something
if
actually
lot,
flexible,
it
should be okay. But
yeah, if they use the right gauge wire, and if you don't like overwork it, it will probably be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly,
yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
go on.
I was just gonna say, you know, for what it's worth, like I did actually really like the Faye figure in this line. I like that one way more than the Ellie figure. So. Bart is built in a similar manner to Faye, I think it'll be a decent little figure.
Which reminds me, I still haven't taken Maria out of her box,
she's suffocating.
Yeah, she's don't away from Faye and Ellie. I need to
just look at the bright side. It's not Mokaz.
Oh god.
Or maybe that's the downside.
I just like to think that Tyler's just using her for stonks, trying to keep her sealed.
Yeah, I'm
sell
thinking
some
about...
dude 10 years later for like $500.
Thinking about those,
you know, like all those collectors that made so much money off their collection. not the other way around. It will be worth so much in so many years, you know.
I think I'm too good of a person. I'm unable to sell something like 3 times the value later on. Like I'd rather just sell it at the price that I paid to someone who really, really wants it.
Right. I'm too sentimental a person. I just keep it.
Yeah, there's yeah,
right.
There's, yeah, there's only.
But I mean, I was saying like if I was to sell something, that's how I.
Yeah,
would
yeah, that's fair.
And there's only a few figures that I actually keep inside the package, so I'm not like completely like one of those collector yeah. people. But anyway, so
the only
oh go on.
Oh, I was gonna say I think the only figures I still have in the packages myself are the ones that I don't have room in a display case for. So I'm like, I don't want them to get dusty. So I just like lift them in there for now.
There's a couple of my Figmas and like the Good Smile minis that I kept in boxes because I didn't want them to pull. I didn't want to pause them again after I moved in and I just never opened them again.
Yeah.
I have one of my Cosmos figures still in her box. But other than that, I probably should remove
Cosmos
her.
Cosmos pillows will... are there. They're just kind of anchored, but they're there.
Yeah, I probably should remove her so I can add... That would free up a lot of space on my Zeno Shrine.
Yeah, one of mine is I've got a big soul bad guy, and he's got a lot of different parts in it, and I'm like, I don't want to get him out until I have a case for him, so I don't have to worry about like him getting all dusty or anything whenever I pose him and set him up, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the only reason for me.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, well, moving on, we have not one, but two Mio figures we're going to talk about. So they revealed the scale figure for Mio, and she looks quite lovely.
Yeah, she does.
It's kind of like funny, because I remember when we saw the initial like mold, and a lot of us were kind of just like, not sure how I feel about this, but now that she's like actually, you know, in color and all that, I think she looks pretty darn solid.
I do like the fact that since it's a figure that's a bit more simple, they did put like more details to the base too. Because a base tends to be like very, you know, it depends which one, but like for example, like Cosmos had a lot of details and her base was just like a color. You know?
So, right, yeah. But like the Melia one was really nice.
Melia
had grass.
Yeah, and then like the Neo one just had like the Neo one had like the blue thing, which I guess is a core crystal, but I don't know, weird.
Yeah, but I think the Neo also they also like cheaped out a bit more on the base there because the character itself has so much insane details.
Details.
But like I do like that the Mio they did do something special around the base, and I do like the details overall. It's just in my case, it's more like part of me is like maybe I'd want it, but at the same time, I'm like, do I want to pay the price of Good Smile figures for this? I don't know yet.
Yeah, for me, it was kind of like, when I first saw it, I was like, I don't think this looks terrible, but I don't think it looks like amazing to the degree where I'm like, I want to spend that much money on it, because it was like the details feel kind of simple, and and just like, the pose could be better for her, I think. You know, like, they could have gone with a more iconic looking pose kind of and dynamic kind of thing. But now seeing it in color, like, and I think part of that, I want to say, I do think part of that was just me like, I don't need another one, you know, like a coping kind of mechanism. Like, I don't really need, but now that I'm seeing it in color, especially with they got like the shiny, like, paint on the jacket, on the like the reflective jacket and everything, I'm that's like, nice. Oh man, it looks so
really
good actually.
Painting, yeah.
Also, do you guys think that she'll be cheaper than say like Pyra and Mithra?
I don't think so
because Good Smile Company always sell like fairly expensive.
Maybe by a little bit,
but like not a whole lot, I think. Mm-hmm. I think we're easily like in the $220 or more.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably close, yeah.
That's about their regular prices for regular figurines, and then you have other figurines that are more detailed that cost even more. Like Cosmos, I think, was a bit more too.
Yeah, I think so too. That sounds right.
I think she was more in the 250, if not a bit more. I can't remember also because like I'm Canadian, so I see both the Canadian and US price, and then I get confused at which one I saw.
That's understandable.
Looking at this Mio scale, I really like the gradients in her hair.
Yeah. Cool. It's really nice when they put that extra, like, work in on that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, it's the paint job, like, props to the paint job, because the paint job is really fantastic.
It's phenomenal.
That's kind of what made it. That's kind of what it's like. It's
a lot of heavy lifting here.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Because with the sculpt, it looked very bland, but now that we see her in life with, like, all the colors, like, they really did a good job with it.
Makes it pop.
Some of these scale figure prices are all over the place nowadays, also, like, because, like, some of them are still in that, like, the 20,000 yen place, and then you'll look at some that look just as simple, and they'll be, like, 40,000. Of course, I think there's,
writing somewhere how much is going to be not yet, right?
They didn't announce the price, to my knowledge, at least.
There's no date
probably
yet.
Probably soon, though. Is there? We're probably going to know soon.
Yeah. There's no pre-order date
either. None of that yet. I'm actually looking on Goodsmile site right now.
It's for sure minimum $200, because it's always around that price.
Probably, yeah.
Minimum.
But if you don't want to spend $200 and you still want Mio on your shelf, there's another option for you. Because we got the Figma of Mio.
That's coming soon.
That is already ordered it very soon. It is still available for pre-order at the moment on AmiAmi.
Oh, okay, good.
And it is 9,960 yen, approximately 66 USD. I'm rounding down. So, yeah, this
I see this price and I'm just bit depressed, because I'm just like, I remember the days when Figmas used to be like a lot cheaper. Oh God. How did it come too close to, it's not quite 100, but it's close.
Yeah. So does anybody have this pre-order?
I actually don't have it pre-ordered.
I don't have it pre-ordered. Because I'm not very fond of Figmas. I did not get good experience with Figmas. So
I have one Figma.
The joints tend to get loose over time, and they tend to be very cheap, so if they were still the price they were, like, back in the day, or, like, a bit lower, I would consider it. But at this price, for the quality they often have, meh.
I have one Figma,
that's
and
just
it's fine
me. That's just so me. Far. That's a very anti-Figma. Oh,
yeah, I know. I don't think that they're best either, but I feel... I feel like, as far as, like,
they're fun,
actual...
though. It's fun that they're doing them, though, for people who enjoy action figures and stuff, but I wish that a lot of their quality would be a bit better.
I think as far as action figures go, they're actually pretty decent quality-wise, but that's only compared to other action figures. Like,
I think it also depends on the figures. So, like, Mio should not be too bad, because her accessories are so very light. They're small. But, like, something like, say, Cosmos is just like, try to hold this big, like, accessory. No, the joint will give in. The joint is just going to be nope.
I do like how they gave the option for the long hair for Mio.
Yeah, I think that's pretty
cool. That's pretty cool. And it does look like the way you pop it in, like, it does... It does feel like you can maybe move it a little bit too, depending, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a very... The Mio Figma does look pretty neat, though. And I do hope that the joints are better than what I remember of the last few Figmas I had. But, yeah.
They're not going to be perfect, but, you know, like, for an action figure, they're not terrible.
She has a small accessory, so she should be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's more like more complex Figmas that are often have issues.
Yeah, that's fair.
And often like accessories sometimes, like the other thing with Figmas, and I've noticed Figmas and Android have this issue sometime where like you'll have an accessory that goes in some hole they did, and then it's just not gonna fit the hole, and you have it's just like this happen more than once. I'm just like, oh god.
I've only had that experience on what turned out to be bootleg Nendoroids, but yeah, like
I had it on real ones.
I've also had it on a couple of real ones as well.
Yeah. It's the big reason why like I don't like them, because like it's just there's always issues that I don't have patience for it.
Not to join the hate on Figma bandwagon, but I have a Telos that I'm always afraid to pose, because it's just like if I pose her just right, something's just gonna fall off. So
yeah, Mine is like, oh yeah, I don't want to really hold my gun and it's falling.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think I had some other bar that was trying to fall sometimes. And it's not, they're okay, but like also like Telos and Cosmos are also very complex. So like,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
there are some bars that are like kind of dangerous to fall off, or that like the figure will not be able to handle the weight of the accessory kind of thing.
I think this may also be a your mileage may vary based on lots of factors aside from 100%. Just even the complexity of the figure, because every one of them you guys are bringing up seem to be like much older ones, and I've got like a fairly new one by comparison.
The last few ones I had gotten were did I have an Attack on Titan one? I can't remember, because like I said, like the leftovers of my other Figmas are like left in boxes.
The one I have is from maybe a year ago.
Yeah, I did have issues with the Attack on Titan android, but it's mostly because, again, the accessories were kind of complex and you know, weird.
Nendoroids, I've got way more recent ones. I was talking about Figma, but yeah, like Nendoroids, I've always been kind of fine with, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I get that, though.
But I'm glad to know that maybe the Figmas have come around to be a bit better, because like they used to have like a lot of issues. I still don't trust the holes for accessory under those figures. But
mine's held a pose for a good long while now because I have not moved it.
A pose is not a problem. Often the issue is more so the attachment of accessories and other stuff like that.
Yeah. I get that.
I think my bigger issue with these figures is that unfortunately for a lot of like female characters, they'll make like the arms and legs so tiny.
Yeah.
And then that makes it really hard for them to like keep their balance.
Mm. Yeah.
And that really sucks. And that's probably one of the bigger things I'm concerned with this one, is like getting her to balance properly for some of these poses. Hopefully,
if she were to have the long hair, she might get a bit too heavy for the
legs. Yeah, and then I also wonder if how easy it'll be to get her stand in with the hair too. I've had that issue with Nendoroids where the hair basically blocks it. Like, I think it was the Toon Zelda Nendoroid. I actually don't have her on her stand because it's easier for me to just stand her up like normal, because like her little dress just stands up.
Yeah,
so
that's the problem I have with Telos. Her long hair made it awkward for me to put the stand in the back, and I get that.
So I have that. Like with Figmas themselves, sometimes it really really depends. I think I only have two Figmas because I don't buy Figmas super often. I have the A Link Between Worlds Figma, which is actually really good. I really like that one. And I also got the Kiryu one from Yakuza, or
nice.
Like a Dragon.
Nice.
And I don't like that one.
Oh, no.
Dang.
I was actually really disappointed by it. Because
yeah, I wondered about those more realistic character Figmas.
And it's like, I wasn't crazy about the detail in his face. And I know, like, they gave him some cigarettes as, like, accessories, and it's like the tiniest little thing. It's like barely even shaped like a cigarette.
Worst.
It's so bad. I'm not a fan of that figure like at all, and I was really sad about that. I'm like, oh man, this would be so cool to have like Kiryu, and I could pose him with like some of my little mini arcades.
Reminds me, I have a figure so that's like a made version of a character, and she has like little donuts in the little tray, but like the donuts are loose, so like I think at some point they're loose, they're not like, I'm like, why didn't you guys just stick it to the tray? Like, it's just, oh my god.
So you know, that being said, to kind of transition from that,
yes,
because we have another Figma, we have the Uni Figma, which unfortunately a lot of the concerns I had with Mio I think are double with Uni, considering
it's gonna
her
be
weapon.
Worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise she looks great. I like Uni a lot. A lot of us like Uni. And yeah, I would otherwise be pretty excited for this. I just need to know how well she's gonna be able to stand up, especially with the weapon. It might not be so bad if they include like an additional stand for that. So, yeah. Like, let's say you want her to get her into a pose where she's, like, shooting it. I think having an additional stand could help.
You know but, what? If they do this, which I'm not saying they should, but, like, this brings to mind, like, yeah, there's a likelihood we'll get probably the at least Figmas of the Xenoblade 3 girls at this point. I'm, like, hoping for Senna. That'd be cool. But, man, if they do happen to make the guys too, and they make a tie-on, I just want a scale figure because I don't want those talismans to be arranged. I want those talismans to be arranged. I don't want that to be some fucking like bullshit with loose talismans in an action figure. That would be so bad. Like,
oh my goodness,
just make him a scale figure. Make tie-on a tie-on
scale figure and like. Have the talismans in a cool pose. Go crazy with this scarf. Yeah. Like, yes. You could make something so cool with Tylon.
Yes. Also, my personal request, make all the Ouroboros. Make all of them.
All of them?
Just make all of them. I want all of them.
You know what would be cool with the Ouroboros, though? Like, actual, like, high-quality kit or something? Because they're basically close to mechas.
Yes, I think that would be great. Honestly, though... you want to talk about losing small parts, though. Yeah, I mean, it's different with kits, but...
It's different with kits, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of robots, our last figure is a new Veltal figure, apparently. I actually missed this news when it first dropped.
Yeah. I was like, isn't it the same thing? I was, like, so confused. I was just like, why are they making Veltal again?
Yeah,
is he just like bigger or something? Like I don't understand.
He does look pretty thick.
Formism.
Yeah, he does look like he has more detail. So it's possible that the scale is higher. But is this a kit or a figurine? That's the thing.
That I don't
know. It looked like a kit. I don't know. What is the formism?
I don't know. I don't.
Not, it looks I'm not like it might be a kit, like. But at the same time, like it depends. No,
let me look up formism.
They might do like pre-assembly kind of thing too. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Oh. It looks nice.
No, yeah. I think this. Oh. I'm trying to see this. Actually, this might be a scale.
Oh. Okay.
Hold on, because I see the formism near Automata, and that isn't posable.
Oh,
so yeah, I'm not familiar with the formism line for Square, so I'm sorry about that, folks. I just don't really know.
It's
yeah, I'm not either.
But yeah, another Veltal. I mean, I know we were
scale because now that I look closely, you can look at the joints, and it's not really joints; it's actually like just there. It's possible that it's just a scale that you just have the usual shitty square stands in the background. I don't like the square stands. But you know, like these yeah, this one does not seem to have joints that can move. So yeah. I think it's a scale.
Yeah.
I think for what it's worth, I did really like the Bring Arts Veltal that came out. That's actually pretty darn nice.
Mm-hmm. All of their robot figures have been great. The Bring Arts
Veltal was really solid.
Oh yeah.
And the Veltal Id. They both have been great, actually. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. My only issue
with it was like I did not understand how to attach it to the stand, and it was just like, what the fuck?
Then
Bob did tell me like, oh yeah, you can remove a part to access it. I was like, wow, yes. They made that so clear.
Yeah, they don't really have any instructions in that, I don't believe.
There is instructions, right. But there? It's not clear. Remember. It was just like pointing an arrow toward the area, but it was not telling you to remove a part. Look, it was like, question mark? So he's just been awkwardly standing there in my display case.
I couldn't remember. It's been so long because I've had mine like up in my case like for since I got it, basically. I figured it out pretty, like, it did take me some time to figure that out, but yes, I did.
Just since it was a pre-built robot, I was like not thinking about removing parts because I thought I would break something. Mm-hmm. So it was just like it was not very intuitive for them to like not give instruction of how to do it.
Nah. Yeah, true.
Especially like each kit and each robot will have often like it's often more or less a similar area, but like they'll often have different like areas where you will clip the robot on.
Yeah. Makes sense.
All right. Well, that was all the new figures, but...
Yeah, new figures, but we got news on a pre-existing figure, sort of figure. I guess that counts for figures. So, two things. One, Nintendo made a post on Twitter about how they have finally completed the Amiibo line for Super Smash Bros. Yay. 10 years of this nonsense, folks.
Oh, yeah, because it started with 4, Smash 4 Wii. And
yes, it was 3DS, 2014 was when all of this craziness started.
Yes,
that could be another episode of Amiibos.
I barely ever see them in Canada. It's great.
The longest Toys to Life business game ever.
Yeah.
Amiibo.
Yeah, an entire decade of this nonsense, guys. And quite a few of the Amiibos, not all of them, don't get too excited, are up in stock on Nintendo's website, and that included the Shulk Amiibo. However, checking it now, it is actually sold out of Nintendo's website, but as of this recording, Target still has it on their site right now, so you can get it for $15.99 on either Target, or if Nintendo has it again, you can get a $15.99 over there as well. And you can also get the new Sora Amiibo, which is the last one of the Smash Bros. But yeah, they have a few other ones, just naming off a couple other ones. Like, they have Joker, they have the Kirby, they have Falco, Fox, Banjo-Kazooie, Isabelle, Mega Man, Olimar, the first Samus Amiibo.
There's a
Snake, Villager,
there's a few on Amazon Samus, as well, Terry. Still available.
Yeah, Amazon actually had a decent amount of Amiibo for a while. I don't know if they still do.
I just looked and it was like, yeah, they've got a few up there that, like, probably various sellers and stuff, but, you know, yeah. They're there. I guess Walmart has it too up there.
But, like, I'm looking at Amazon right now, and it looks like the Amazon listings are a little bit more than what these things, like, initially retail for. Because I think, if I remember correctly, they initially retailed at $12.99. I think.
Yeah, they went up in price over time.
Yeah.
Because here, like, a regular Amiibo here is, like, in the $20.
Oof. Yeah, depending on where you go. Well, I mean, most are going
to be
about
Because it's the exchange. Because now, like, in the States, they're, like, a lot closer to $20. So for us, it goes over $20. So it depends which ones, but a lot of them are, like, you know, more around, like, 17, 18 or something, I think, in the States now. So for us, it's like in the 20s, and then you add the taxes to that. Yeah,
it's supposed to be 15 at retail, I believe, still. But yeah, it depends on a lot of factors.
It probably depends on each one and their details too. Like, some of them are sold like a lot more than some others.
Yeah, I mean, like, finding Amiibos at prices almost feels like going to ye olde and bartering pole anymore anyway. Like, I mean, it's felt that way for years, but
yeah, well, I never buy them at, like, the price of Scalpers, I refuse.
Okay. Oh no, I know, but, like, even walking into any like retail store, they're not necessarily going to be like their original MSRP kind of thing anymore. Like, they'll be like, oh, it will range depending on how rare it is, because all the retailers also, you know, they know what's going on with that to a degree, especially if you walk into, like, a smaller, like, mom and pop shop style thing, like game store or something. They're going to be like, if you even have any of those, they're going to be like, oh, it's going to range.
I will say, I think, like, it'll be it's interesting to look back on Amiibo. I know we're getting on a little tangent here, but I'll just say this real quick. I think it's Amiibo is fascinating because it's an interesting, like, case study on how internet hype can just completely manipulate something. Because I distinctly remember when these things got announced, most people didn't give a shit about them.
Yeah.
Like, the reaction to it was, oh, really? You're just making freaking dumbass toys and they're not even, like, doing anything significant? Nobody cared. And well, then
some people definitely did, but
some people definitely did, but, like, most people weren't going out of their way to buy these things or scalp these things. It wasn't until
It wasn't until I guess got a few, like a slightly smaller print run, and then people started spreading rumors that they were discontinued, that people started to rush out and buy these things.
Yeah, I think at most people on them were like, oh, cool. We have the ability to now own merch of Nintendo characters that have never had it before, and it's like decent, you know, like a decent mm-hmm. kind of thing. It was like there was plenty of interest. It was just like a mild interest at best, because it was just like, oh yeah, this.
Like whatever,
but then it blew super out of proportion, of course, because of just the market and shit like that. You know?
Yeah, and like I said, a lot of internet rumors were going out. Rumors that I don't even think were even founded in any kind of like reality. I don't even think there was even evidence for it. But I remember, I distinctly remember this. People were starting to say these were discontinued, even though there was no evidence for that, other than a store sold out of them.
I think happens a lot depending on where you are. Like, I know, like, in Canada, it was very hard. Even when it was, like, the big hype and we still had, like, a decent stock here and there, like, it was still very hard to get, like, any kind of extra popular or niche ones. Like, it was so hard to get them here. Because in general, Canada always had less stock, but now the shops don't even try to keep stock so much anymore. So, like, it's even harder to get them. It's like, you get them a pre-order or, well, too bad. And even then, like, it's like the pre-orders are so limited here. It's hell. So that's why I'm really thankful to have you guys in the States. because I can be like, power friendship, please help me.
Well, what's good is that, like, because we're kind of past the peak of like the Amiibo craze.
Yeah.
It's actually easy to pre-order them, because for a while you couldn't even pre-order them.
Yeah.
Because like and again, there's receipts of this, folks. Game stores had like flyers on the front door where they would hand write how many of a certain amiibo they would have at that location. There are pictures of this online. You can find them. This actually happened. Like, because that's how crazy it was. People were going to all these stores. People were using all sorts of UPC trackers. There was threads upon threads of people trying to help each other get these things. It was so insane. Crazy. And again, it all started because of a few internet rumors that people started spreading. And then I remember some websites started publishing articles about that and saying that these are discontinued, go buy them now.
Yeah.
So I definitely think there will be like some deep dive video in the next like year or two of somebody going into what I'm talking about right here and how interesting of a time the Amiibo race was.
Yeah, it was the Amiibo Wars. It was crazy.
Well, they're in stock now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Yep. Don't know for how long, but they are.
Yeah. also in stock, it looks like the Xenogears kits are still in stock.
Is that right? Yeah, they're still available for order. Like, they're not like at order stop yet, so that means people can still order them.
Yeah, see our kit building episode for our experience building those kits.
They're pretty decent, I think.
Yeah. And then also the Xenoblade acrylic stands are still available as well. I guess I forgot that they did some for Future Redeemed.
Yeah, they did. It's just, like, the only issue I have with acrylic standees is that I need to pair them with something, or, like, I feel like the shipping is not worth it.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean.
That makes sense.
The shipping used to be super cheap for small items like that, but nowadays, it's just like, no matter it's small or big, your shipping is still gonna be, like, crazy high. It's so crazy. Like, I remember back in the day, I was ordering figurines from Japan with, like, the cheapest, like, her parcel thing, and it was costing me, like, I don't know, like $10, $20 max of shipping. Now it's like, oh yeah, you have a big box of figurine. All right, it's gonna cost you like $50-$70 in shipping.
Oh. Yeah, it only goes up too.
And then you're like, oh, you also have custom fees to pay. You know?
I had like a big order, like of just like that. I packaged a bunch of stuff together, and it was probably still cheaper to get them sent together. But man, just as a whole, it was a lot more than I expected.
Oh yeah, I did that in December. I had like this gigantic order come in.
Yeah, pretty much. I had a huge box,
and that's why like at that time I did order some yeast and a little acrylic, but it's because there were. Coming out the same month as all of my other things, so it was just like, okay, it's worth it then. true in there.
All right. Okay, so that concludes our figure corner. Now, let's go on to so for Xenogears 26th anniversary for the Japanese release, the soundtrack's available now for streaming. Like, it's on available on Spotify and Apple, and I'm not certain what else, but it's there. That's pretty Ooh, cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to be all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more and more game soundtracks are making it to Spotify, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they have been for quite a while, but it just depends on the publisher.
Yeah. Square's been pretty good. Well, I know they have like a lot of the Final Fantasies on there.
Yeah, they started with Final Fantasy, I think, mostly.
Yeah, so this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Sega, Capcom, Arc System Works definitely has all their stuff on there.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that Square Enix would be also. I've seen, which this part of Sega, but I've seen some Atlas stuff on there for sure. Like, you can listen to all the Persona and a lot of the SMT soundtracks, if not all of them as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. It's nice. But yeah.
It is very nice. And Xenogears has an amazing soundtrack, so yeah.
It's nice that we live in a time period where those are at least somewhat available to
people. Exactly, you don't have to buy some CD that's...
You don't have to import a $100 CD set or something.
That is
Yes, yeah, really nice. They're available.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is the month of... at least older Xeno birthdays, because, yeah, Xenogears turned 26. And yesterday of this recording, so on February 15th, Xenosaga Episode 2 North American release celebrated its 19th anniversary.
Yeah. The second game's almost 20 years old. How do we feel about that?
I'm mostly going to be upset when Episode 3 turns 20, but... Oh, well, that's just around the corner.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just some copia.
Maybe at the 20th anniversary of Xenosaga 3, they're going to release their
remaster. Oh, you're funny.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I would...
I know it's not going to happen. I was just like, let's just have some pain together right now.
If anything, we might get a new figure. That's...
Yeah,
that's what it seems like these days.
I mean, I'm always down for new figures.
Yeah, me too.
My wallet disagree a bit about that, but you know.
I know there's a ton of Cosmos figures, but just I'll take. Give me all.
I would
Cosmos
say
figures.
Honestly, to a newer version of like Cosmos Episode 3 or like any of the older Cosmos, because like, you know, the technology around figures came up like came out so much in quality that I'm just like, I'd be curious to see what they would do today.
That would be yes. Though we would
too.
Who knows?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I was gonna say I would too, but at the same time, I also would like to see them do another character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, but yeah. We all know that if they do anything on Osaka,
it's gonna be
If they did someone else, that would be cool. Like if they did
Give us Ziggy.
Yeah, definitely give us Ziggy.
Give us Shion.
Give us
Shion too.
Give us Shion, yeah.
Shion would be
a
great
Shion
too.
Scale statue. Oh. Yeah.
But Ziggy would be cool.
Well, yeah, Ziggy's butt.
Well, let's feel even older, because at the end of this month, on February 25th, Xenosaga 1 turns 21 in North America, and February 28th, it turns 22 in Japan.
I'll drink to that.
It'll turn 22 in Japan.
How are PS2 games already 20-something years old, guys?
Yep.
I know.
Yep.
Like, it feels like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, How is it? And then like, I hear about, like, PS1 games being, like, 30, 40 years old or whatever. I don't know. Like, I'm always like, what?
I'm telling you, fellas, you got to be careful. You got to be careful, fellas. You could be talking to someone, having a drink with them, and they weren't even born when the PS2 came out.
Don't say that. No.
Oh, my God. That'll make me feel older.
That gets tough.
You got to be careful out there, folks.
Especially with, like, how much more popular video games we were growing up. Like, you could just be talking to anybody thinking, oh, yeah, this person's probably about my age, and then find out that they're 10 years younger than you or something, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh.
And they haven't played exactly the same order because of that. Yeah. Though, to be honest, it's often
they just watch a YouTuber play it.
It's something kind of interesting to see, like, how, like, people who are a bit younger than us, like, how they come either in the Xeno series or any other game series that we might have followed for a while. Like, you know, it's always interesting to see, like, what order they got into it.
So, yeah, nothing against younger fans. Mm-hmm. It's just, they have a different experience. And we just feel
like grandpa and grandma.
Feel old. We're the problem.
It's definitely an us problem, yeah.
So I was watching a video. This is going on a slight tangent again, but I was watching a video about fighting games and about how certain older fighting games just aren't on modern consoles, like even big ones just aren't on modern consoles. And a person made a point that, like, you see, like, game rooms at conventions, and they were saying that for a lot of people, like, those little, like, game rooms at conventions or just, like, the random TVs that have set up at, like, Evo or a fighting game tournament, that could be a person's first and only chance to play some of those games on, like, real hardware. And, like, I think about that sometimes because I know I've definitely, like, spoken to people who have never touched, like, an NES controller, for instance, or even something newer, like a Super Nintendo. There's people I know who just never have had the opportunity to play those things. And for somebody my age, I'm like, I think everybody's clearly had this. We all grew up with this stuff. We've all had it or had a cousin who had it. So, like, clearly everybody knows what this is. But the reality is we're getting to a point where, no, that is not the case. And those people are getting older and older and older, too.
But, so, you know, that also makes sense, especially with fighting games, because those are so prone to crossovers, and it may not even be full crossovers. Like, it doesn't have to be a Capcom versus SNK to just be stuck in licensing hell, because you've got one or even more guest characters that are just from different series that they have to relicense all of them or scrub them from the game. And easier said than done a lot of times, or most of the time, more not even necessarily that it's that hard so much as is it worth the effort in the first place, like, monetarily for a company to re-release this with, oh, we can't release what, like, for instance, what if they were like, hey, we're bringing back Soul Calibur 4 or something, but we can't because Star Wars or something
but the problem is the video was saying that, like, it's not even, like, licensed stuff. Like, even games like, let's say, the original Tekken, that can be kind of tricky to play on a modern console today because there aren't really ports of that on modern consoles, at least.
I mean, is there even a port of Tekken 3 other than, I think, the PlayStation Mini has one?
Yeah, the PlayStation Mini has a port of it, but
which is not even a port, really. It's
Tekken
just
kind of brings me back. I have that on PS1, I think.
You know, and Tekken's like a bigger franchise. That's not only is it a bigger franchise, it just got a new game that's doing, like, insanely well. So, like, that's the instance of a game that doesn't even have the license in the game, except for 3, but
I think it's doing I had very well, like, Tekken and Bloody Roar on my PS1.
Bloody Roar.
It's been forever, but, like,
Yeah, so I guess it's interesting how, like, you know, we have older and older people today that haven't been able to experience some of the games that we grew up with. Mm-hmm. You know, PS2 is that came out in 2000, where it's now 2024. So you potentially have, like, 23-year-olds who may have never even seen a PS2 in their life before, or they never held a PS2 controller, and I'm sorry, I am going on so many tangents tonight.
No, it's fine. I mean, like, this is more interesting stuff.
One final tangent that has to do with the PS2 specifically, because it relates to something that happened to me a couple days ago.
So, we just did the Valentine's Day bash on Retro Roulette, and one of the games I was playing on it was Tulip. And I was playing it on real hardware, right? Because I do have a copy of the game, I do have the hardware, I was going to play that, stream it, whatever.
There is a PS3 version, but that's...
There is a PS3 version, but yes. I had two controllers in my apartment, both of them failed on me. They have buttons that don't work. I tried to clean them. I tried to fix them. They just wouldn't work. And
Owning a console is now arcade restoration. Congratulations.
No, unironically. So I was looking this up. Like, apparently, PS2 controllers are known to fail now. Uh-huh. Because they're just old, and the pressure-sensitive buttons, they wear out. And like, and they wear out on the board. So it's more than just like you have to just clean it. If the board itself could start failing, and something I've noticed is that a lot of like the retro game stores around me, they actually don't stock that many PS2 controllers. And I always thought that was kind of weird. They have a lot of the third party ones or like aftermarket controllers that are coming out now, and many of them aren't very good. There's a couple decent ones, but most aren't the best. So I was looking for a new PS2 controller to do the stream. And so I called up, like, I think I called up about 5 or 6 places around me, just different retro game stores. And most of them didn't have any first-party PS2 controllers in stock. And then one guy said, oh, I got one, and I'll sell them, but it's going to be $50. And I'm not paying $50 for a PS2 controller. And the guy's just like, oh, but like, you know, it's really hard to find one with all the inputs working because they die out, and I'm going to make sure that it's all working. I'm going to test all the buttons for you. And it took a lot for me to say, fuck off. I didn't. I just said, thank you, hung up. I ultimately was able to find another one. There's a guy I know, shout out to Paul. He owns this game store near me, and he thankfully had one left. And yeah, he only had one. He had one PS2 controller left. And
well, you are in a very rural area. I'm just kidding.
Didn't charge me anywhere near as much as the other person did. It was a lot cheaper, thank goodness. And so I was able to get it. But like, yeah, the PS2, right? It's one of the best-selling consoles of all time. And I can't find a controller for it.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
So even if kids today are out trying to buy like PlayStation 2s, right? Now they run into that issue where they don't know if the controllers actually work.
Though I imagine that we're probably going to see some converter to make other controller works.
They do exist already. I'm actually going to buy one soon. Brook, for instance, make a lot of adapters. They have this one line called the Wingman. And they have those for most old consoles, actually. So you can buy a Wingman, but you can use like a PlayStation 4, PlayStation
adapters
5 controller.
Adapters are the console. Saviors for things like that.
yeah. For sure. Like, those are great. I am probably going to be buying one of those really soon just so I have backup. But yeah, like to Tanuki's point, like, playing old games is now becoming like arcade restoration. Like, this is the kind of crap that's happening right now. So
yeah, it's real homebrew. I was going to say, Justin... So, interesting thing on your earlier tangent. Guess what the oldest Tekken you can buy on current consoles is?
Probably 6, I'm going to
guess. No, not even 7.
So, you can't even buy Tekken 6.
Yeah, you can't even get 6 or Tag Tournament 2 on current consoles unless you still consider Wii U a current console, which no one does. But, like, that the last release of Tekken before, I think, 7... that was like even close was Wii U Tekken Tag Tournament 2. I was like,
that's
speaking
wild.
Of which, if you, Tekken kind of makes those big bucks lately, and like if anything, if there's anything good about that looping back to Xeno stuff, it's that, hey, if they have the power to re-release any Xeno Saga stuff, it will be because of the money they're probably making off stuff like Tekken.
That is very true, honestly.
Which is really nice. I'm glad to see the Tekken series is doing so well, because like for a while it felt like it wasn't, and it really came back with 7. I think people really underestimate, like, because like fighting games are kind of a niche genre in general, to go off on another small tangent. But like, besides Smash Brothers, what's the next best seller, if not even better seller? It's Mortal Kombat. But like, Tekken is actually getting up there with it, because like, mm-hmm.
Tekken 7 sold over 10 million copies. That's like Nintendo level money.
And since you brought Mortal Kombat, just to kind of go back to what I was talking about, Mortal Kombat's another example where people just like they can't really play the original Mortal Kombat on modern consoles. I think the most modern console you can play Mortal Kombat on is like an arcade 1-Up. And I do believe there is a PC version that you can still get codes for on some sites, but other than that, you can't really play the original Mortal Kombat. And that's not like a niche game. There was a big game back in its day, and it's the franchise is huge, right? Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting what's happening with some of these games. And to kind of go off about how, you know, to bring it back to Xeno, we're coming up on when Xenoblade Cross's servers are shutting down, because that's going to be happening on April 8th.
Yeah. Not looking forward to that.
So yeah, once that's done, no one's going to be able to play this game online anymore. So people buy this game used down the line and they want to experience it
officially, or
try the online functionality. One, they can't get the patches unless they hack their Wii U. Two, they're not gonna be able to play online with people, because but I think what I think is gonna end up happening with this game, though, is while it sucks that it's shutting down, I think people are gonna be making a custom service for it, and I believe that's already a thing on the 3DS right now.
I was gonna say, Justin, now's a good time to slyly hint at there's some people developing a thing called Pretendo Network. Yeah.
That's involved. Yep, that's exactly.
Look into that.
Yeah, yeah, because that already exists for 3DS, and I know you can play games like Kid Icarus Uprising.
I think it's in like a beta or alpha stage for the Wii U. Actually, so like you can actually, if you have a certain thing involving the Wii U that you know you can check out your games on, and starts with a C, you know. That you might be able to look and see like if there's a beta available of that. Or I think you can also check it out through like, you know, hacking your Wii U, but you know.
Yeah. Which is, at the end of the day, I think that's going to be the way people continue to play some of these games down the line. It's gonna come down to folks modding their consoles.
Yeah. As far as how into that we should get, you know,
that's a topic.
Don't worry, we're not gonna get too deep into it. But it's just we're speaking.
There's definitely possibilities, because like people will not have a way to do it like normally anymore.
Yes.
So of course, like fans will develop stuff.
Yep. At least I'm glad that we are at least in a place as like a video game community where even there's tons of fans of video games that are homebrewing their own shit to keep things alive. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going off on a lot of tangents on this episode, but what are video game shows for if not for tangents?
I know, for real.
We're just begging for a remaster of Xenosaga the same way Harada is begging for more Virtua Fighter, okay? That's all we're here to do.
Yeah.
Yes, give us Xenosaga Remaster and Xenoblade X on modern consoles would be nice too.
Give us more reasons to make these episodes on XenoChat.
We want to give you money.
Yeah.
Why won't you take our money?
We ask for nothing. We just want to give. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, just like all these figurines that come out and that ruins my wallet. I will ruin my wallet there too.
I know we've gone into this many times before, but given Square Enix's stance on things, on like bringing back all their old stuff,
I still think have a chance.
It's only a matter of time.
That's how I feel.
Namco tends to forget about IPs, so I don't have high hopes. But Xenogears, I have high hopes will be ported again.
Yeah, I think Gears will come back.
Yeah, with the soundtrack on streaming platforms, that's also a good sign. I feel like
they've been giving Xenogears more and more attention lately, so I feel like there's a chance something's brewing in the background.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I'm thinking that there are more Xenogears figures than there are Xenoblade figures point. Just I think that there's that is a good sign of Xenogears will return.
And like it's been getting a good amount of support too, so like I think they're gonna see like, oh yeah, people really want this, okay, maybe we should port the game soon.
Like, I don't know if it's going to be, like, a full-on remake or anything like that, but I definitely think it'll be a remaster, at least.
I wouldn't mind a remaster, but at the same time, if they can't do it, I wouldn't mind either if it's just, like, a port to newer things, because, like, I feel like a port to PC, for example, would be nice, but also to, like, more modern console, but just in general, more modern things, because right now it's just stuck on PS3 and PSP. So
the newest console you can play it on is a Vita at the moment. So
my highest hope, my pipe dream for Xenogears, the highest I'll go with that is if they did like a Octopath Live Alive style remake of it. That would be like incredible, but that's
great.
That's almost laughable to me, but at the same time, Live Alive exists, so...
I feel like I would still prefer them to have a more painterly kind of look, because, like, you know, like, Xenogears sprites and even the world was kind of a bit more, like... It looked like it was more painted than, like...
Yeah.
You know, like, I hope that if they did a 3D, 2D thing, they would not, like... wash out the style too much, and it had a specific style to it that was really charming.
Yeah, I would hope they wouldn't just slap a lighting engine on it and that's it.
Exactly.
They got pretty good though.
Oh yeah. Well, fingers crossed. Anyway, I think that's all the news we have for today.
Xenoblades crossed.
It is.
Xenoblade
we went enough on the rampage.
Yeah, keep your Xenoblades crossed.
I mean, you didn't just come here from the news. You could look that up anywhere. So, like, we're here to provide the commentary.
And by now, it's pretty old, so
Some of it.
But, yeah, anyway, thanks for chatting with me tonight. And, thanks, everybody, for joining and for everyone listening. And have a good night.
Have a good night.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.